I have been feeling for a while that I need to spend some time talking about faith. After all, we read in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God without faith. We can build the biggest monuments, the biggest pyramids, we can do the greatest works. God's not impressed. It's impossible to please him apart from faith. Because, that scripture goes on to say, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we live by faith and not by sight. Faith is not just important, it is essential. We need faith to know God. We need faith to know and receive the salvation he offers us in Jesus Christ. We need faith to know and stand in who we are. Children of the Most High God, the redeemed of the Lord. As I prayed about beginning to talk about faith, I realized that you can't faithfully talk about faith without a faithful consideration of a number of other things. Because if you don't, faith can easily, and it has been in the church over the decades, the centuries, faith easily can be turned into a form of works. If my faith were just strong enough, good enough, pure enough, we'll deal with that. Or faith can turn into a wish list. So today we're going to sort of do an introduction to biblical believing. And then we're going to spend some time pursuing that topic. In this pursuit of understanding faith, we need to consider things like God, his nature, and his character, which has everything to do with everything. I thought it was just about believing. No, it all starts with God, and it always does, at every level. Now, I'm about to bore those of you who've been around for a while with part of my life testimony that I know you've heard before. It has to do with a very, very serious illness that I had way back in 1989. I ended up, after a bout with the flu, paralyzed, other than my eyes, and on a vent. I don't recommend it. It was difficult, to say the least. And in that difficulty, the Holy Spirit showed up in an amazing way and downloaded to me a revelation like I had never had before regarding the truth that God is good. Now, everything that was going on around me could have moved anyone to saying, oh, maybe God's not so good. But the Holy Spirit affirmed in my spirit that God is good. The only way I could communicate at that time was by a spelling board. I could blink, and my wife would very patiently point at letters and lines on this board, and I could spell things out. And I just spelled out in the midst of all this, the tubes, the vent, and all that, God is good. He's good. And everybody thought I was hallucinating. Well, then things went from bad to worse. The vent I had been on had been oral. I woke up one time after slipping in and out of consciousness for days to realize that I had a trach. And now this vent was in my throat. And I was enraged. And what rose up in my spirit was accusation against God. And it was, God, you can do better than this. And God spoke to me. as clearly, as forthrightly as I have ever heard. He didn't speak in anger. He spoke in love, but it was with a firmness that was unmistakable. And he said simply, I am sovereign. And I answered back in my spirit, oh. But then in my spirit, God enabled me to see that his goodness and his sovereignty were linked. If God were not good, his sovereignty would be terrifying. Imagine God with a bad attitude and a bad day. If God were not sovereign, then his goodness would simply be like that of a doting grandfather who means well but doesn't accomplish much. But he is sovereign and he is good. He is good and he is sovereign. And I was able to rest in that through the rest of the mess that I went through. I was able to entrust myself to him and I was healed. And that had to do, that revelation had to do not with God saying, you need to have more faith. And I had a lot of folks visit me. They were like Job's comforters, his helpers. I collected more books on faith and healing while I couldn't say a word in my own defense. People saying, you just need to believe more. There must be sin in your life. And I'm thinking, of course there's sin in my life. There must be sin in your life for you to come in and lay this on me. Come on, I'm sick. Give me a break here. You know, to understand faith biblically, we have to come to a place of understanding God's love, of understanding his goodness, of understanding his sovereignty, his might, and his glory. Our faith cannot be separated from who God is and all that he has done for us and all that he will do for us through Christ. Biblical faith also requires some consideration of the ramifications of the kingdom of God, of his rule and his reign, of his purposes, of his intent to extend that kingdom and glorify himself through the extension of his kingdom. We need to consider the fullness of what the word has to tell us about faith. If we don't consider the fullness of that, we can get out of whack. For instance, Matthew 18, 19. Jesus says, I'll tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Or John 14, 12 to 14. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He'll do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. Now, we hear that, and if we don't consider the totality of what Scripture has to say, we look and say, wow! So we can ask anything and we'll get it? Hand me the checkbook. Well, maybe not quite so fast in that department. Because we read in 1 John 5, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. If we ask anything according to his will. And we should probably, in our consideration of faith, consider the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. He says in Matthew 6, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Look at me, aren't I spiritual? I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you see, faith isn't simply an issue of believing hard enough and well enough or asking outrageously enough, thinking that God will do what we want him to do and when we want him to do it. If that were the case, the car that I have in the parking lot would be very, very different from the car that's in the parking lot. So I want you to know. Faith involves trust. Trusting that God is. Believing that he is consistent in what he does, and believing that he is consistent in who he has revealed himself to be. James in chapter 1:17 says, God doesn't change like shifting shadows. God is the same, the Bible says, yesterday, today, and forever. That means he is who he has been, and he still does what he has did. Rewind the tape on that. I know millions are watching. See, in the natural, we try to do things in the natural. We work. We put our best effort into it. But that's not how the kingdom works. In the spirit, we learn to rely on God. We learn to trust him. We learn to take him at his word, which is probably the best definition, the most simple definition of faith we can have. Faith is taking God at his word. But we need to rely on his faithfulness. We need to put our confidence in his ability, in his reliability, in his willingness to embrace us in an embrace of life and of healing, of ministry and care. We need to learn in faith to rest in him. We need to learn to live by faith. In Romans 1:17, the Apostle Paul says, for in the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. From first to last. Walking as a believer is a faith walk from beginning to end. The Bible teaches we are saved by faith. Not by works. We are saved by believing that Jesus took our sin upon himself and died on the cross to pay the price that sin requires. We are justified by faith, meaning that when we believe on Christ, the righteousness of Jesus covers us and God deals with us based upon the righteousness of his Son, not our own. We sang today, and I absolutely love it, we can run into his arms unashamed because of mercy. We're sanctified by faith. No one can make his or herself holy. We have to trust in God for that work. We are kept by faith. The basis of our relationship with God is faith. We are victorious in life and in spiritual battle by faith. We pray in and we receive answers by faith. And we receive miracles by faith. In all of that, we should probably see if we can learn a bit about faith so that we can live and walk in faith. Not by works, not by religiosity, but faith. And so that we in faith can see God move in and through us for the extension of His kingdom and for His glory. Amen. Let's stand and bless the Lord.